Good evening, everyone. You're in the right place at the right time. This is Coast to Coast AM, blasting out of the Mojave Desert like a Scirocco, blazing across the land into your town, into your home, slamming into your radio like a supercharged nanoparticle of unobtainium. Greetings from the boldest, bawdiest, most outrageous city in the world, the planetary capital of sun, fun, sin, sex, and secrets, my not-so-humble hometown, Las Vegas, Nevada. My name is George Knapp, your occasional host, designated driver of the airwaves, and moderator of tonight's upcoming cacophony of conversation. Glad to be back with you once again. Folks, I think we have a good one for you tonight, a lineup of topics, guests, music, and ideas that will prove to be both fun and thought-provoking. Coming up in the second half of tonight's program, a journey through unnatural history in search of crypto creatures, unknown animals, beasts of lore and legend, creatures large and small that have been seen by humans through the centuries, derided by some as nothing more than mythical mental beings of the imagination, but pursued with great vigor by scientists and explorers. One of the premier creature hunters in the world, Dr. Carl Schuchar, has written more than a dozen books about unknown or undiscovered animals, trying to track down the legend, bore in on the facts, resolve the mysteries, at least in some cases resolving the mysteries. We're not just talking about the superstars of the mythical zoo, like unicorns or sea serpents, but also a combination elephant and bear that supposedly lives in the ocean, horned hares that remind us of the fabled jackalope, pseudo pterodactyls and other dinosaur-like behemoths, a menagerie of mysteries pursued with the vigor and humor of an old-time carny pitchman. Dr. Schuchar joins me 2 hours from now to talk about his travels and investigations into the unknown. But in this hour, a subject torn from the daily headlines. Is there anything that can still shock us when it comes to the NSA? Every day, it seems, brings a new revelation that flies in the face of the denials spouted by the spy agency just the day before. I mean, the NSA has been caught in so many lies now because of recent whistleblower revelations, it's hard to see how this agency has even a shred of credibility remaining. This week, new revelations about how the companies, how this agency twisted the arms of telecom giants to install backdoor traps in software and hardware everywhere, along with embarrassing details about how the NSA truly views the rest of us as being stupid for using iPhones or other devices, which make it so easy for them to ignore the Constitution and constitutional protections and listen to anything and everything. Are you burnt out by the NSA by now? Tired of hearing the latest scandals? Because maybe that's what they're counting on, that we'll all get tired of talking about it. Tonight, we take a little side trip down the whistleblower road to explore the newest revelations, what they mean for you, and what they mean for whatever tattered shreds of personal privacy you might have left. Whatever they are, they're not much. Joining me in just a few minutes is Charlie Smith, a journalist and expert on cyber tech, terrorism, and the new realities we face in the omnipresent surveillance state that used to be the land of the free, governed by the rule of law. That, obviously, has been tossed out the window. Charlie Smith joins me in just a moment to talk about the NSA and what else it might have up its considerable sleeve. As always, we have a collection of oddities and items of interest culled from the news of the recent past. Webmaster Lex and I put this collection together on the Coast website. It's under the title Knapp's News. One item that's posted there might ring a bell with some of our Sunday night listeners. As you might recall, several weeks ago, I interviewed an author who had written about the end of darkness, the relentless creep of light pollution, and how we have so few truly dark places left. It's a tale I think needs to be told with video attached. So we had a chance to put together a piece about it, and given that so many Coast listeners are night owls by nature, I think it's going to touch a nerve with many of you. Also posted there a little anniversary notice, a happy anniversary to Wall Street. 5 years after the collapse and bailout engineered by the greedy banksters, none of whom went to prison for bringing the world economy to its knees, and who now find themselves in an even stronger position than they were in back then. Right back at the trough, slopping up these gigantic bonuses, recklessly gambling the life savings of millions of Americans, and pushing all the time for less and less oversight, oversight that is already pretty pathetic and weak. One other story I'll mention now that's posted to the NAPS news section, and maybe we can chat about some of the others later tonight. It's a news piece from a town in England about a mystery mailbox that just sort of appeared out of nowhere in the middle of a bridge. One reason it got so much attention is that the newspaper that ran this story included an interview with a local resident who happens to live there in that town where the mailbox was found, and he's world-renowned psychic Uri Geller. He has nothing to do with the story itself other than the fact that he lives in this town and happened to be interviewed. They asked him for his opinion. I mention this in part because I was in touch with Uri Geller this week, and we booked him for one of our programs next month, and I really look forward to that interview. Plenty of other goodies there on the Coast website, but we have a lot of ground to cover tonight, so we are taking our first break, coming back with Charlie R. Smith to talk about the latest outrages from the NSA. So stay right there, pour another cup of Joe, curl up on the sofa, settle in for an invigorating evening. I'm George Knapp, and this is Coast to Coast AM. Thanks for being with us tonight on Coast to Coast. I'm George Knapp. You know, it wasn't that long ago that we Americans knew almost nothing about the NSA, the National Security Agency. The joke was that those initials, that acronym NSA, stood for No Such Agency. But we sure know a lot about that agency now. I mean, the beans were spilled by several whistleblowers, former NSA analysts and employees, including Thomas Drake, who was on this program last year, and then more recently by Edward Snowden, who released the documents to prove just how much and how blatantly NSA has been lying to us about how much surveillance is being conducted on regular Americans, people who have nothing whatsoever to do with terrorism or with threats to national security. And every day, it seems, this drip, drip, drip of embarrassing revelations continues its downpour. Here with me to talk about the NSA and some of the latest revelations is Charlie Smith, one of America's leading experts on cyber technology and its implications for war, terrorism, privacy, and every way technology interacts with our lives. He's an exclusive columnist for Newsmax.com as its cyber war expert and is president and CEO of Softwar, his own consulting company. Charlie, great to have you back on the program.
Oh, thank you for having me on board. Appreciate it.
Let's start with some general observations or general statements from you, opinions. Do you think the NSA even cares about all these revelations that Kim's spilling out every day? Is this just a minor distraction for them, all the stories and, you know, the stories that appear in the newspaper and the congressional fist pounding? I don't know. I get the feeling sometimes they just decided we're going to weather this. There's nothing anybody can do about it. We're going to continue our job whether anyone complains about it or not.
To be absolutely honest with you, there is panic in the halls of Fort Meade at the moment, basically generated by all of this. And the reason for that is the very letters NSA are out all over the place. They would prefer to operate in the darkness, in essence, away from the light of the public. The NSA really in itself is such a tightly knit group agency, especially among the inner core professionals, that to mention the names of the individuals brings literally gasps and horror amongst the higher-ups. And frankly, I think that they're in full panic mode at the moment, trying desperately to put out fires and apply damage control across the press, amongst their political friends, and apply as much coercion as they possibly can, disinformation about their capabilities in order to muddle the issues. So as far as the NSA is concerned right now, they are full-blown damage control, and the fact that you just said NSA on the air has probably already triggered about 400 different computer programs that are now alerting their human operators at Fort Meade.
Well, everybody, get on your phone and say NSA a couple of times. Call your mom and see
You
if you
could always start out with the words, like echelon, prism, flying pig, things like that, and they'll certainly get upset at you, at least the programs themselves. You have to remember, the NSA for years, it was established by the Truman administration, and it was essentially a secret agency. It was actually designated a top secret. You could not even mention the NSA name without violating a national security ruling and getting thrown in jail. It was a military organization that came out of World War II from code cracking. It has done some fantastic work, especially during the Cold War, tracking Soviet missile, Soviet espionage activity, the Chinese, the Israelis, all around the world, essentially. That's where we, in essence, ended up with a global structure called Echelon, which was a combination of satellites, ground wire taps, listening post stations. We even had a listening post station, part of the Echelon program, run jointly by the Communist Chinese and the United States during the 1980s and even all the way back to the 1970s, monitoring Russian missile programs. It was actually right up on the Chinese-Russian border. Very few people know about that, but it was there, and it was jointly manned by both NSA personnel as well as Chinese PLA, Liberation Army, 2nd and 4th Department operations. So we've made strange bedfellows, to be absolutely sure. And it was essentially designed as a military tool to assist the United States in its national security. One of the biggest anti-espionage efforts was the Rosenberg case. Many people still believe that the Rosenbergs were innocent. The Venona decrypts, which were provided by the NSA, proved beyond a shadow of a doubt that the Rosenbergs were indeed Russian agents, and they did compromise both our nuclear secrets as well as numerous very sensitive electronic secrets to the Soviet Union, some of which cost thousands of American soldiers their lives. So there is, no doubt that the NSA itself has done some fantastic work. Back where things started to change was when the Berlin Wall fell and the Cold War came to a close. The NSA essentially found itself as an agency without a battle to fight. And this brought about a very interesting report. It was publicly put out by the RAND Corporation, announcing that the next major threat would be transnational organizations, and that we indeed had to provide the appropriate security and surveillance in order to deal with them. And that was in the early 1990s under the Clinton administration. The NSA also changed rather radically during the Clinton administration. Two areas that come to mind were the Clipper chip, a program which I and many people fought against for a long period of time. Essentially, it was designated, the government wished to plant a chip in all communications devices, which would provide them with a instant backdoor in order to monitor. And I'm talking about every fax, every computer, every cell phone, every telephone, everything. And this not only included individual transmissions, but also corporate and banking transmissions. In fact, Then Federal Reserve Chairman Alan Greenspan actually threw NSA agents out of his office when they came in and insisted that they needed to have the Federal Reserve assistance in putting this backdoor chip in all of the banking structure. And of course, we're talking about trillions of dollars that are transferred every day, and they wish to monitor every penny of it. Greenspan has made no bones about it, that he thought it was an idiotic idea from the very beginning. The only reason that Clipper died at such an ugly death, I guess, can be summarized by the letter written by a NASA administrator who was told that the Clipper was supposed to be put into all NASA systems, including the space shuttle. Their report basically was that if the NSA is compromised, then the backdoor keys into the Clipper chips would be compromised, and therefore the entire system would come tumbling down, could essentially be compromised from within, and therefore NASA declined to install the Clipper chip. It was Benita Cooper who wrote that. The Walker case, as an example of where the NSA could be easily compromised by a single individual.
I want to get into the discussion of the backdoor chips and the backdoor technology, because that was part of what hit the news this week, is that essentially that's what they've got now, whether it's that chip or other mechanisms. But I'm going to rely on you to help explain that to us. But another general question before we go there, I like to think of the NSA as the good guys. I mean, the world is a bad place. There are bad people out there who wish us ill. And we need somebody out there to keep an eye on them, to listen to transmissions and phone calls and listen in on plots against America and Americans. I guess the part that bothers me is what bothers most Americans is that they're listening to us, whether we have anything to do with terrorism or threats to our government or national security or not, that they've gone way too far. I'll ask it this way. Are you confident about the amount of oversight that NSA has? We hear Congress people on the Intelligence Committee saying, oh, yeah, we're keeping an eye on them. But it seems to me that it has to be, basically, you have to take their word for it. There's nobody can watch an agency this big to see what intercepts are being listened to, what data is being stored. You have to take their word for it, don't you?
Precisely. And to speak honestly, no, there is not enough oversight on the NSA. The real problem is I agree with you in your evaluation. Yes, the NSA is good guys, and both having fought against some of their operations as well as fought with them. I came out of the Cold War. That was part of my gist. I used to write war games for the Pentagon. The real key is the NSA obviously was very good at what it did. The only problem is that things have changed. It's become essentially a combination of a big brother spying agency and the U.S. Postal Service. You have an embedded bureaucracy which operates literally like a behemoth on its own without a mind and with very little direction. And, of course, you also still have the inner core of military and national defense areas, which do at least have some true meaning to them. But when you're reading about things such as NSA employees using national resources to monitor their ex-girlfriend, essentially it becomes an agency for predators. And this is a dangerous precedent. Especially when it's a closed agency such as the NSA. The NSA does not like to reveal much, if anything, about itself, its structure, or the community around it. The fact that Fort Meade does not wish to do this is really a testament to their power, because we've seen in their court records that at least have been declassified that they have violated court orders repeatedly and over extended period of time. So essentially, in many cases, it's a loose cannon. As I've noted, it is a bureaucratic behemoth. It's almost like a dinosaur, a Godzilla that has no brain. It will just continue to lumber on. And therein lies, I think, the problem. We need to not only pull in the reins, but we also need to dispose of whole areas, missions that the NSA has taken on that really take on that air of illegality. This was, again, done during the Clinton years when NSA resources were used for commercial.
All right, Charlie Smith, cyber expert. We're going to get into some specific examples of where NSA may have overstepped its bounds, talking about NSA abuses and uses. Stay with us, everyone. Much more to come on Coast to Coast AM. Now, a lot of us feel like we're being watched or listened to, especially after these recent spate of revelations about the NSA collecting supposedly just metadata. We're talking with Charlie Smith, a cyber technology expert, about the implications of these NSA revelations. Much more to come here on Coast to Coast AM. There was a news story came out about a week ago, an article written by David Kravitz and Robert McMillan. The headline was NSA revelations cast doubt on the entire tech industry. And it sort of traces the story about a couple of guys who work for Microsoft. 6 years ago, they discovered what looked like a back door that had been installed in some software being used throughout the Microsoft empire, and they kind of blew it off and didn't pay any attention until the revelations from Edward Snowden came out, confirming what a lot of people had suspected, that this back door had indeed been engineered by the NSA. The stories that came out in the past week suggest that it's been installed all over the place, that telecom giants all over the planet went along with this stuff. Charlie, I want to ask you about this. You mentioned that in the during the Clinton years, there was an attempt to put a computer chip in all kinds of devices as a back door. Sounds like they've got it now.
Well, the NSA failed with the Clipper chip because they wished to pass legislation to make it mandatory, and that was actually in their documentation. Once that was revealed, it became very uncomfortable for legislators to actually step forward to do that. Essentially, they would have nationalized the data security industry completely, again, under the federal government auspices. So instead, the NSA went back to their usual route, which is back to the spook roots of their spying days. And by using influence, money, court orders, warrants, just strong-arm tactics, as well as getting some of their own personnel hired as key engineers inside certain organizations, they have managed to spread a wide variety of backdoors, both hardware, software, and flaws that can be exploited throughout an entire industry, both telecommunications and in the computer industry. So, you know, you're basically looking at not just one specific device, but a multitude of devices, algorithms, and software that has been propagated essentially out of the multi-billion dollar agency and done so on a global scale, not just an individual scale aimed at specific industries or companies. Sometimes they can't do it. LavaBit is a very good example. The founder of LavaBit received the court order from which would essentially have come from the NSA saying, you need to open up your service so we can monitor anyone, anywhere, anytime. He had previously complied with individual orders to allow monitoring of specifically targeted individuals with a warrant. But this one was a blanket. We want the whole thing open. So instead, he shut down his company. An interesting side note, the NSA threatened to have him jailed for closing his company.
Yeah, like that was a threat. I read about that. We mentioned on this program. I was thinking, wow, that guy's, he's got some guts to do that, and then they went after him anyway.
Well, you see, therein lies the point. You know, we're now faced with a behemoth that is literally saying, listen, I don't care if you own a business, we're essentially going to take it over. We're going to run your business. We're going to tell you how it has to be run. And if you attempt to leave your business, we're going to put you in jail. To me, that's not only counter to the laws and the Constitution of the United States, that's actually one of the main reasons why our founding fathers got so upset with King George. So we have a very interesting problem here, and it's going to cost the American government, the American consumer. It already does. One really good example of just simple coercion is the very weak cryptography that is in place to protect your financial security. A good example is your credit card. Why do we suffer billions of dollars a year in credit card fraud when it could easily be solved with very strong cryptography? The reason why? The NSA wishes to monitor. They want to know where these transactions are, who's making them, and they siphon through billions of them in literally a month's time in order to pick out individual ones that they may think are interesting. So we are forced to suffer with massive losses at one end to criminals who are also exploiting the very same hole that the NSA is.
Well, it sort of goes back to what you said earlier, that the NSA had gone to Greenspan and said, hey, we want to be able to monitor every single financial transaction, international transaction. He kicked them out. But they can do it now, can't they? That was one of the headlines I read recently, is basically they track everything.
Well, they try to. Keep in mind, to be absolutely honest with you, the NSA is code breakers. They make codes, but their primary role is breaking ciphers, breaking codes. The Federal Reserve is probably one of the best code makers on the globe. They are far better than almost every nation on Earth. And the reason for that is they have that sacred trust. There's like $3.5 or $4 trillion a day that has to get shoveled around. Now, the problem is, of course, once you get to shuttling that stuff, there's places where even if you have the best code in the world, the information is still vulnerable when it's decrypted and available. And that's where what they call exploits. And that's where we've seen routers, switching packet units, telecommunications devices, things on a variety of scales have essentially been compromised by the NSA. In some cases, they're hardcore engineering designs. In some cases, they are software designs. In some cases, they're designs that were built in flawed, and the NSA has discovered those and just basically kept them in their pocket. So they still have ways of being able to track things. And, you know, they are not above, as we've seen, to be able to walk into a company with a letter. And the CEO of Yahoo made it very clear. We did not want this. We actually filed a lawsuit and lost, saying, don't do this to us. And when we lost, we had to let them in because not to do so is considered treason and they will throw you in jail. This is the CEO of Yahoo telling us.
I read that story and
right,
I thought to myself,
in essence, was faced with jail time or compliance.
I read that story and I thought to myself, since when do we in America throw CEOs in jail? I mean, not a whole lot of those guys face consequences for their actions. So
well,
I don't know if it was a
we
valid.
We won't throw them in jail for stealing billions of dollars from the American public and then being forced to be bailed out. But we will throw them in jail if they refuse to cooperate with the NSA and allow them in essence, unlimited access to all of the email tweets and other instant messaging software so they can monitor what's going on.
Charlie, help me understand this. I'm kind of a Luddite and a technophobe, but I mean, building a backdoor into this software, does that mean that whether or not I'm a terrorist or a criminal, they basically can tap into my computer, see what I'm up to without a warrant anytime they want into your computer. You write about this stuff. I'm sure they might want to keep tabs on you. There's no oversight. There's no way to stop them from doing it. No warrant, no court supervision, just anytime they want. And if it's just a computer, what other devices can they tap into? What other ways do they violate our privacy?
Basically, they can tap into almost any electronic device. Your cell phone. I have to laugh at the advertisements with smartphones is a really good example. It's almost like we're dolphins and instead of the biologists putting on little tracking tags, we have bought the tracking tag and we put it in our pocket and walk around with it all day long. So not only do they know where we are and what we're saying and what we're buying and where we're planning on going and things like that, but we've paid for it. That's the ultimate irony. We not only pay for it in the taxes, but we actually bought the tracking device and carry it in our pocket.
Well, there was a story that came out that had some revelations from behind the scenes at the NSA. You probably saw it, and how candidly they view Americans as being idiots for going along with this.
Absolutely. And, I, for one, am absolutely in agreement, because when you present the facts to most of the American public, their eyes usually glaze over because it's, quote, technical. In fact, when you present it to most of the legislators, their eyes glaze over because it's too technical. When I tried to explain the clipper chip to a Virginia senator, he kind of looked at me with a blank stare. Ironically, he was an ex-Marine who should have known better. But then again, I had actually had to revert to, it's a secret code, like a catcher signaling to the pitcher to throw a fastball. And that's when the light bulb finally went on. Oh, I get it. So, and it's like, okay, well, now think of, the steal second base signal. And what would happen if the other team knows what that signal is? That's where they've broken your code. Oh, I get it. And I'm like, okay, well, follow me on this one. Now, you're, engaged in major financial transactions, and the opposition has broken your code, so now they know what you're going to buy, when you're going to buy it, and what's going to happen. And we've already had this occur with the Chinese. Oil companies like Exxon have noted that the Chinese hackers broke into their organization and were looking at future prospects where the oil companies were planning on buying land and exploring. So basically the whole point was, instead of them having to invest in this, all they had to do was steal it. It's a commercial espionage, and they go at it in a massive quantity. NSA has been recruited essentially in the American version to do exactly the same thing. The recent case revealed by, of course, Snowden's documents is that we spied on Petrobras, which is the Brazilian petro company, in massive quantity using exploits built by the NSA, and then, of course, have tacitly and quietly passed that information on to their American competitors so we can get a jump on them. It dates back again to the 1990s when the Clinton administration allowed NSA material and NSA assets to be used by Boeing to monitor the transmissions in Saudi Arabia of a Saudi prince who was taking bribes from Airbus over a multi-billion-dollar deal. So once it was revealed that the prince was being bribed by Airbus, Airbus lost the contract, got into trouble, and Boeing won. All of this was revealed by the CIA director eventually, but the whole point was, why are we using national security assets as a tool for corporations to try to win deals?
There's a name for that kind of government, where the power of the state is used to do the bidding of giant corporations. There's a name for that.
I believe it's called fascism.
That's exactly right.
And we've seen the rise of fascism in China, and we're actually seeing some of it here with the exactly the same kind of result. We have this gigantic surveillance state. NSA was originally designed for foreign threats. When they have refocused their efforts to now monitoring inside the borders of the United States under the pretense of the continuing emergency resolution of the 9/11 event, we now have a surveillance state monitoring us. And that does, of course, reflect into the political, social, and economic realm. Anytime that there is a exploit that can be made available to opposition politicians who support the NSA, you can guarantee they will get the information one way or the other. We've seen what happened with the IRS and conservative groups. What happens when you get the very same kind of attitude running, in this case, a massive surveillance system that's literally global in nature, and, you know, we're not just talking computers and cell phones and your telephone and your fax and your bank account. Let's take this another step. Your DirecTV, they could be very well monitoring not only what you're purchasing, but how long you're holding on to it. They can sell that kind of metadata on to the, you know, the wonderful guys. Remember Google, okay? They're wonderful at working at this. Google, Amazon, those major corporations that have invested billions of dollars to try to figure out what you're buying and how you're buying it and whether they want to influence you to buy something else. And the real irony is, again, I agree with the NSA evaluation. Most of the American, especially the voting public that voted in our current president, get their news from Jon Stewart on the Comedy Channel. They really have no idea what is happening. Not only have our news organizations been subverted, they've gone to the point now where they're essentially cheerleaders. It's not only gross, it's terrifyingly gross. And it makes George Orwell look like an amateur.
Here's the part that bothers me, is that you can raise this subject with people and you can keep their attention for a minute or two, and then they go back to texting or tweeting or Facebooking and don't care, not realizing that this is a genie that can't be put back in the bottle. Once you build a surveillance state like this, this kind of an awesome capability, it's there forever. You don't dismantle it. It's there forever. And although we're still theoretically a republic, a democracy, somebody could come in and put that to a much different kind of use.
It's already being put to a much different kind of use. Like I said, if you've seen the example of the IRS, don't be too surprised that we're going to find essentially the same kind of political subversion, political, anti-political activity taking place with the NSA. They were, in order to further their own internal political agendas, they will be happy to compromise materials in a tit-for-tat with politicians who are willing to go along with them. No duh. Because it's secret. It's all behind closed doors. It's national security, and if you talk about it, we're going to throw you in jail or you're going to need to seek asylum in a foreign country. But there's also another cost. Remember the blush on cloud computing? Well, forget it. It ain't going to happen now. Why? Basically because nobody in their right mind is going to trust their commercial or personal data to a cloud, because at that point it is compromised, no matter what the company standing up saying, oh, we're absolutely secure. Baloney, you've got a NSA letter sitting on your desk saying, give us everything. So American industry is going to suffer greatly. The individual Americans are going to suffer because jobs, the technical, and the opportunities are not going to be here. They're going to be foreign companies that are going to win these contracts because they don't have that little NSA letter sitting on their desk.
I couldn't imagine how many billions of dollars could be lost other countries see this stuff. They don't want to buy our stuff. They know there's a back door in anything they buy from us, that they'll be buying gear to spy on themselves. We'll continue our conversation with Charlie about the NSA and a variety of ways that it's invading your privacy.